Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
29 FM ESPN.
Love is in the air, and Dinstals is the place to win the heart of your special Valentine. For over 100 years, our family has created handmade chocolates using only the finest ingredients in our Memphis Candy Kitchen. Select from an array of beautiful heart-shaped boxes packed with caramels and fudge, nougats and creams, to nuts and tartlets. And for your Valentine's parties, Dinstals has everything from marshmallow hearts to the award-winning fudge pops, a Dinstals tradition. February the 11th is the launch of Dinstals' famous chocolate-covered strawberries. Fresh, ripe berries, dipped in fondant and enrobed in rich milk chocolate. Nobody dips them like Dinstals. Place your order today at your favorite Dinstals location. Laurelwood, Germantown, Pleasant View, Collierville, or our new store downtown. This Valentine's Day, say, I love you with Dinstals. Made in Memphis and enjoyed by the whole world.
Robert Irwin Jewelers has the trifecta this Valentine's Day. Spend $99 or more on a piece of jewelry she'll love, and you'll get a dozen roses and a box of chocolates. While supplies last, in-store only at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Four Memphis locations and the new one in Little Rock.
Headlines, people, deadlines!
Oh, boy.
5-Hour Energy helps you get through your crazy, on-the-go life. And now, it comes in two great tropical flavors, Strawberry Banana and Tropical Burst. They're delicious and can transport you to a tropical paradise. Try them both, then vote for your favorite at 5hewin.com. You could be on the go to someplace you actually want to go. Offer ends 7/31/20. Terms apply. See 5hewin.com for details.
You've got a car to sell, so you start thinking, what, this is going to be fun? Ha! You're really thinking, what a pain. It's going to take forever. I'm going to have to haggle with dealers or handle everything myself.
It doesn't have to be that way. GiveMeTheVIN.com is a much better way to go. Hi, I'm John Clay Wolf, and working with my company, GiveMeTheVIN.com is simple, fast, and I guarantee you more money for your car. Stop placing your own ads, stop letting dealerships rob your trade-in, and quit wasting time standing around at CarMax. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and give it a try. Just punch in your VIN number or plate number, post a few pics, and presto, you get an offer for your vehicle within seconds, and I give you more money guaranteed, or I send you a check for $100. This is smart, new, easy way to sell your vehicle for more money, and we'll come pick it up at your house or office. Take a couple of minutes and go to GiveMeTheVIN.com now.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Each and every day on the Jeff Calkins Show, we welcome Chris Harrington, Brad Carson. Let's fire it up.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m., brought to you by the attorneys of Thomas White & Gill. Find them online at memphisfamilylaw.com.
Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Alley Oop. From 1960 by, and I've already forgotten the one-hit wonder band that did it, but obviously in reference to Brandon Clark and his probably about a dozen alley-oops it seems like he had last night.
Pete said on the broadcast, this was before, there were further alley-oops, or there were more alley-oops that followed. They had already had, according to, I guess, whatever stat track of the alley-oops, they had already tripled their total from last year.
Yeah, I mean, who's catching oops last year? I can't even remember who.
Especially after Jared got hurt.
Right, right. Even Jared is not. He's not, like, quick off the floor above the rim, really, you know?
Let's get into that. How much of what Brandon Clark was able to do last night was repeatable, and how much of it was matchup-based?
Well, I mean, he's not going to score 27 points on 12 or 14 every night, but it's not like, you know, not like, I mean, he is, I think one of the notes was he is on pace to set a record for, like, rookie shooting percentage or whatever, right? And so the idea of him as a dynamic finisher around the rim is nothing new. I mean, that was his calling card, or one of his calling cards coming in the draft, and he's been great at it all season. Not at that level of frequency. And so that's a specific to that game situation. But, I mean, that's what he's going to be. I think part of it is the guards looking for him. And just, like, if he's on the floor, just throw it up to the rim and see what happens. Like, I think that, like, there's a lot of that. But, no, I mean, that's what he's going to be. That is one of the things that's, you know, that's one of his trademarks. And it will continue to be.
I think this is something I struggle. And, of course, last night the Grizzlies win 111-104. One thing that I struggle with is...
Breaking news. Devin Booker has been named as Damian Lillard's replacement for the All-Star game.
So there we go.
There goes that.
I guess he did not have a non-refundable Caribbean trip planned.
Right.
I guess he was able
That is not a surprise. I mean, that is what I expected to happen.
It's the easiest answer, right? Like, statistically...
I just think, you know, when I did this a couple weeks ago, I wrote about this, about does John Morant have a case for the All-Star game? And when I actually drilled down into it and looked at it, I realize, oh, he's a better case than I thought he did.
Right.
Like, he really does have a case. And it's only grown over the last 2 weeks. But, you know, it's not a clearly better case than Devin Booker's. And in this situation, Ty's just not going to go to the rookie.
No, it's always going to go. And it's going to go to the guy that statistically is going to have the better traditional stats and whatnot. And I'm not even trying to make a case against Booker. But to me, that was kind of the... He was a heavy favorite to get that once we got the announcement that Damian Lillard is going to not play in the All-Star game. So, again, the breaking news here on 92.9 FM ESPN, powered by Radio.com Sports. It's brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots. Now in two great tropical flavors, according to Shams Charania. I presume maybe this would actually probably be according to the NBA in a press release. The NBA has selected Devin Booker as the replacement for Damian Lillard, not John Morant. Devin Booker.
If that was a scoop, it's not one that wasn't going to come out anyway.
Yeah,
right?
That's,
you know.
Well, that's the
not
other...
an investigative report either way. It's something that the NBA was putting out on a press release.
It's tough to talk about some of these things that Shams, like getting into the Shams Woj war, because A, I don't care. I'm like, I'm exactly like you. Scoop does not really matter to me. Like,
if it's something that's going to come out anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do wonder, like, how much is Shams... Like, sometimes Shams is just better at the internet. Shams is...
Quicker to the trigger.
Not only quicker to the trigger, Shams is very good at seeing something on social media and beating everyone to it. And like, for instance, James Wiseman. James Wiseman...
And then suddenly you get credit for breaking
exactly,
a story you didn't actually
exactly.
break. Yes, that is, so, I've seen that happen, too.
And so I've always wondered, is like, okay, is he just better at the internet, or is he getting tipped off? Hey, go look for this. Like, and to me, that there is skill involved, and I don't... Like, right. That's my whole thing, is I don't particularly care, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get back to the Grizzlies.
Yep.
This is what I struggle with, because I think, honestly, this was like 2 months ago you and I were discussing this. What is, if things got off the rails for the Grizzlies, what is the most obvious option that led it to getting off the rails other than injury? And you pointed out, it's got to be shooting. Like, you look at some of the numbers and whatnot.
And that happened.
Yeah.
And they kept winning anyway.
And so that's where I struggle is I don't think probably 74 points in the paint is repeatable.
Right.
But at the same time, they also deserve credit for understanding, okay, we got a matchup, you know, advantage here. And we're going to attack this. We're not particularly shooting the ball well. Let's attack this. And they find ways to win. I think where I struggle is what made them successful previously the shooting, or is this just they have a very interchangeable collection of talent?
They have a lot of in the Swiss Army knife that Taylor Jenkins has at his disposal. There are lots of little things in there. There's lots of options. They do really, and over the course of the game, like, you can see we can go big and burly, and like, we have Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jonas Valanciunas, like, two centers basically in the game. Like, we can go small in our backcourt and play DeAnthony Melton, you know, and play Dylan Brooks at the three. We can be super quick and have Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark both up front with DeAnthony Melton at the two, and now we're just flying all over the floor defensively. And so they have, you know, we can play half court and let John Morant just create stuff, or we can force steals and get out and run. They are not a one-trick pony. They can play a lot of different styles and a lot of different combinations. And I think Taylor Jenkins has proven increasingly adept at managing his menu, his portfolio of options in every game. But the other thing is that the shooting fell off, but the defense picked up at the same time to make up for it. And you can say, well, that early stretch in the season or middle stretch of the season in January where they were shooting so crazy good, like, that was not sustainable. I think they should not have been as bad as they were defensively at one point early in the season either. Like, before the season started, like, one of my predictions, I did like 7 predictions or whatever at the start of the season, and one of them was that the Grizzlies would be a better defensive team than an offensive team. And that looked totally wrong like a month ago, and now it's flipped totally the other way. But I think the personnel has always been, from a distance, better defensive personnel than offensive personnel. So I think the improved defensive play we've seen lately is a product of the actual personnel. Jaren Jackson's supposed to be a defense-first player. When he got drafted, that was the story of Jaren Jackson. You know, DeAnthony Melton is a defense-first player. Kyle Anderson, now playing more, is a defense-first player. Brandon Clark, other than dunking, is supposed to be sort of a defense-first player, right? And so they have good defensive personnel. And so the question is, you know, is that shooting tends to fluctuate anyway for individual players, for teams, whatever, the course of seasons and careers. That's the thing that sort of fluctuates a little bit. Is that shooting going to come back around to pair with the defense they're playing now? And that would be exciting if that happened.
And I guess that's my bigger question is, it's the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. The Grizzlies were probably not as good of a shooting team as they were at the beginning, and they're probably not as bad as they've been the last couple of games.
Right.
But I think a big...
Let's hope Dylan Brooks, not as bad as he's been the last couple of games.
Well, and like, the first thing, like, comes out 3 for 3, and I'm like, okay, you know...
He's 8 of 33 the last two games.
Yeah, and... like, bad misses.
Yep.
Not like, you know, man, that's just a tough night. Rattle in and out. Ball just didn't go in. Like, there were a couple that are like, ooh, boy. Maybe start passing tonight, Dylan. But I think that's kind of the question that I have is, how much of this now is related to, while Jay Crowder wasn't shooting at a wildly efficient mark, my boy had no problem getting a shot up.
No.
And he was shooting good enough to where you had to honor it. And it kind of stretched the floor a little bit. I wonder how much of it is scheme roster related now that we're starting to see a little different look from the Grizzlies.
Yeah, that could be. You lose some spacing when you go from Crowder to Anderson, right? And Anderson is more of a he's better on the ball, and there's only so much time you're going to spend on the ball playing in a starting lineup with John Morant. And then B, his strength is really more cuts, right? Cutting to the basket. Well, you're cutting to a basket where in a starting lineup where Jonas Valanciunas is probably already in the paint, and then you have Jaren Jackson, who can space but is a big. And so, yeah, that gets a little wonky. And I suspect, even though he's not really a shooter either, that when Justice Winslow gets healthy, he's going to be in that starting lineup. It'll be even a different look from there. But I also think, in addition to – this is something I noticed last night, and for all the celebration about Morant last night, I sort of had a little note in what I wrote that he was forcing the issue too much in the fourth quarter. You look up, and it's 9 of 23, and I felt like – I felt like Ja and Dylan and Jonas Valanciunas, all three, were trying to do a little too much one-on-one in the half court late in the game. And they were really at their best last night when they had those quicker lineups on the floor. A lot of times with Ja, right? And when he had those 5 assists in like 2 minutes or whatever, he's out there with Melton and he's with Clark. And when you had those lineups of, say, Melton, Ja Morant, and Anthony Melton, and Brandon Clark, and Jaren Jackson, you're playing faster, you're spacing the floor better. To me, they looked better when they were playing more like that than let's walk it up and have Ja go one-on-one, Jonas go one-on-one, that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, I remember your tweet in the fourth quarter, something along the lines of Taylor Jenkins is putting Jonas Valanciunas back in. This feels surprising because
I was a little surprised. It worked, but yeah.
They ended up closing out the game, and there's no question he had key rebounds that
you,
kept
you
a lot
had
of
Whiteside on the floor, yeah. And that was like, who's going to rebound with Whiteside, right? And so that was, I assume, the rationale for bringing Jonas back in.
But to your point, most of Portland's big runs when the game got back, you know, the Grizzlies would get out in front, and then you'd watch Portland make their run. It did feel. Primarily, it was whether it's coincidence or not, it felt like it was when Jonas was on the floor.
You don't want to make too much out of like single sure. game plus minus, but it is telling because I don't think Valanciunas and Clark played together at all in that game because of Gorgui Dieng. If they did, it wasn't much. But the Grizzlies were negative 14, and yet Valanciunas' minutes were plus 21 at Clark's. And they were plus, actually not with Melton, but my sense was they just played better when they played those smaller, quicker lineups in that game.
That's just right. That's matchup because
it is matchup.
Portland has quicker guards.
Because there are some nights where you're wrecking people with Jonas on the floor. So it's totally a matchup game. It's a flow of the game situation.
Did you have a nice little memories moment with Carmelo going 1-for-15?
That was something, wasn't it? I mean,
you know what I mean.
That's quite the contrast with the 1-of-15 Melo and the 12-of-14 Brandon Clark. And it's one of those things where, like, he's obviously, you know, pretty old for an NBA player. It looks he was never, like, a super athlete to begin with.
He was never a spring chicken.
But he looked pretty out of shape and by NBA standards. And I felt a kind of compassion. It's one of those rare occasions where you look on the floor and you sort of see yourself in an NBA game a little bit.
Well, he's also doing the thing, like, he's never had, like, form-fitting clothes. But it feels like the shorts are getting even baggier.
Right,
it feels
like
the jersey's getting even baggier. It's like the things that you do, like, I got my fat pants on today. Like he's kind of like even doing the things to hide. Like I do not have an NBA
body. Stylistically, like when I used to play, I feel like I was probably sort of an impoverished man's Mellow a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I was more
allergic to the paint.
Well, not allergic to the paint, but like not a high flyer. You know, not really a 3-point shooter.
Ground attack.
More of a scorer, but like, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Ground pound. Listen, you can't throw an interception if you're running the ball.
Right.
We're talking, of course, to Chris Harrington. His game story is available up over at the Daily Memphian. Make sure you go subscribe today to the Daily Memphian. I promise at some point we'll get to the names that I'm sure everyone cares the most about. But we saw new pieces last night. And,
yeah.
And a big new piece was Gorgui Dieng. And
that, I had someone text me last night outside of Memphis and say, like, and their response was, hot take. The Winslow trade was bad. The Gorgui Dieng trade was good.
Mm-hmm.
And their point was, like, there's a lot of disagreement about the Winslow trade, but the detour they took, the voluntary detour they took, they didn't have to take to say, okay, in the context of this, let's flip James Johnson for Gorgui Dieng, take a little bit more money and get a player who fits better with us, was a really, really good decision.
Yeah.
Last night was one game. And so I saw some people say, who clearly never seen him play before, which is fine because how many people are watching Minnesota, like, base their opinion solely on the 13 minutes he played for the Memphis Grizzlies. And the body of work of 5 years or whatever before then is more meaningful than the 13 minutes he played last night. But I think what you saw last night was, like, what he is now, right? He's a center who can stretch the floor. He can block shots.
He's also massive.
He's big. He plays smart.
Yeah.
Not the greatest athlete, not a guy who's going to, you know, throw the ball to him on the low post necessarily, although they had the one nice up and under move, but a guy who's going to play really smart team basketball. And I think it was interesting. I assume this is how they'll use him going forward, basically pairing with Brandon Clark.
Yep.
He and Brandon Clark seem to fit really well together.
Thunder and lightning, baby.
Yeah, because Dieng can stretch the floor, that opens up the space for the rim attacks for Brandon Clark. And because Dieng can guard the bigger centers, now Brandon Clark can float defensively. And I just think as a second unit front court, that fits really well together. I think it's an easier fit than with Solomon Hill. Like when you tried to play Solomon Hill and Clark together, you were a little too small. And so what they ended up doing was mixing it up and playing Solomon Hill with Jonas Valanciunas more. And I just think the rotational fit is going to be better with Gorgui Dieng.
And I mentioned this to Dan during the last segment. To your friend's point, I do think there's also an expectation factor where it also felt like that trade, the Jang trade, kind of got lost in the wash of all the late deadline deals. And, you know, there was a little analysis that came out afterwards, but there's this idea of, A, he's got a more defined role. And it was very clear last night, basically, the game plan for him was anything you give us on the offensive end's a plus. Right. But we need you on the defensive end here to give us a nice stretch of minutes, and he clearly did that.
Yeah.
But to me, it's to your point, he has a clear defined role, and there's a good fit for him.
Well, the thing about that is, in terms of how he fits in the rotation with all these other players when they're healthy, I think we saw that last night in a really productive, good way. I can tell you the main impetus for going to get him was not that. It was, what happens to us if Jonas Valanciunas turns an ankle and he misses a week? What happens if Jaren Jackson turns an ankle and he misses a week? That was the main driving factor in them doing this. It was, we don't have depth at center beyond these two guys, and if one of them comes up, something happens and we have to go be without them, we're really in a tough spot. And it was to have him for that. Like, yeah, he'll be good in these 12 minutes a game when everyone's healthy.
Right.
But if you don't have Jonas on a Friday night, now he's playing 25, and you're in much better shape than you would be otherwise.
When you look at kind of the totality of last night, and obviously that, an 82-game season, I'm never going to say a game's a must-win, but if you had playoff aspirations, you really needed to hold serve last night, and
That was a big win. And what I said on the show yesterday with Jeff was, I think there was more to gain than there was to lose.
Yeah.
The loss would have hurt. They still would have had a 2-game cushion or whatever. But now you have a 4-game cushion over the Blazers, and you just have to get a split in Portland to win the season series and have the tiebreaker, and that makes it like a 5-game cushion.
That's basically
right?
An extra game.
And so, last night I think was big for them. They've still got a long way to go. Their schedule is much tougher than Portland's or New Orleans, but that was a big win for the Grizzlies.
How much – I guess we don't really know the answer. Damian Lillard after the game said he didn't hear a pop, and most people.
Well, one of his quotes was, he sort of suggested that it was strong. It was strong enough after the game that he feels like if he rests it, I'm paraphrasing, he'll be good to go after the break. I think that remains to be seen. I mean, right. I think that's an optimistic projection from Damian Lillard. It might turn out to be true, but I wouldn't assume it's true.
I mean, A, it's a muscle. B, it could have been adrenaline after the game. I mean, there's a lot of factors where, I mean, I've watched guys walk off ACL injuries. So, I mean,
he might play the first game after the break. He might miss a month. Yeah. Anything could happen with that.
How much does that change the outlook of this race? I mean, I know we need more information.
We don't know, but if he's out a matter of weeks, I think Portland's in bad trouble at that point. Yeah, look at that team last night. One of the stories in that game, Damian Lillard did not have a great game. Ja Morant, for his highlights, didn't really have a great game. That game was won by the depth of the Grizzlies. It was won by Brandon Clark and the guys we've been talking about. Brandon Clark and Anthony Melton and Gorgui Jing and Josh Jackson gave him good minutes. And Portland, like, Anthony Simons played well. And, do you even remember anyone else who played for the – like, when you think of that game –
only other person you can remember is Whiteside, and it's not for what he did.
I mean, do you remember Gary Trent Jr. being on the floor? Do you remember Caleb Swanigan? And they played an eight-man rotation last night. And, Carmelo Anthony shoots 1 of 15.
Ariza was out there.
The depth of talent that the Grizzlies have right now is far deeper. The Blazers may get better because they may get some of their bigs back, right. Nurkic and Zach Collins. But on the perimeter – like, C.J. McCollum's great, but, you're asking him to be a one-man show pretty much if Lillard's out.
Let's say Lillard's out 3 to 4 weeks.
Yep.
Does that change your opinion of – you've consistently said take the field versus the Grizzlies if that's the option. Does that change your opinion?
Well
– I mean, I know New Orleans is still down
New
there.
Orleans is still hard. I don't know. Because the Grizzlies' schedule is so tough – and New Orleans is sort of charging so hard. Right now, the projections update every day. And so this 538 projection we've been talking about, they do two different projections. And the one that's the default is the one that has the Grizzlies at like 13%. And
correct.
I don't believe that one because I think
it's, that's the Raptor, I believe.
Well, it's based on their preseason projections. Yes. And clearly, like, Grizzlies are better than we thought. But today, they still have the field over the Grizzlies. But they have the Grizzlies as the most likely. They have the Grizzlies at 44% chance. Blazers at 27, Pelicans at 22. So they now, this was not the case yesterday.
Right.
But as of today.
I think they were 40 and 42 going into yesterday.
Yeah, as of today, for the first time, I think, all season, they have the Grizzlies as you know, the highest odds to make the playoffs, but still less than the field.
When you look at, if you were going, because one thing that I loved about yesterday was kind of the idea of the skiing matchup. And I thought yesterday was a fun game going into the game because it did feel like.
It's like, this is what meaningful basketball, yeah, playoff basketball is. You can think about this.
Exactly. You know, you can think, yeah, about the matchups. Like, okay, right, well, is Melton going to get more extended minutes? You know, how are they going to work on certain things? Who guards whom? Like, I think that was fun. When you think about it in terms of, I guess we used to call it the second half of the season, but it's clearly the back quarter, yeah, of the season after, right, the post-All-Star break. What do the Grizzlies do, in your opinion, that makes them a tough matchup?
What you mean, what are they doing? Or
correct.
What? I mean, I think it's that versatility I talked about, that sense that they have different pitches in their arsenal, right? They can throw a fastball or off-speed, right, to mix my
they're four-pitch guys.
Yeah. And so, like, they can play big, they can play small, they can play slow, they can play fast. They have the depth and the diversity in their roster to match up different ways with different teams. And I think that is one of the things that makes them interesting.
Talking, of course, with Chris Harrington. His game story is available up over at the Daily Memphian. Go read that. Also, go subscribe to that. We mentioned it. Ja and Jaren have not played well. And I'm curious from this perspective, is the break good for the Grizzlies or not? I know that was a question Taylor Jenkins got post-game. But
I think it probably is. I mean, you know, three of these players are going to play in Chicago, and so it's, I don't know how much of a break is that, right? But I think, you know, for Dylan Brooks, you know, to sort of clear his head and recharge, for Jonas Valanciunas to clear his head and get a little bit of rest. I think for a young team like this, guys, especially like Brandon Clark and John Morant, not used to 82-game seasons, to get a little rest and to recharge a little bit, I suspect it'll be good for the Grizzlies. Of course, they come right out of it into a tough road trip.
I mean,
so.
Last night was the first – it's the last home game, I think, for 2 weeks. I mean, I understand there's the All-Star break built in, but, I mean, they have that big West Coast road trip right after that. You mentioned Josh Jackson, and he's been – feels like an insufferable topic of conversation online.
Right.
He did do some nice things last night. Is what he did last night a role that could lead to a future with the Grizzlies for him?
I think that's very possible, yeah. I mean, you can never have too many wings who can actually play for you. I'm not sold on him yet as someone who helps you much in a half-court offense. His shooting does not look great to me.
Well, it did feel like the adjustment they made to him last night was basically, unless you are wide open, we don't need you shooting, right, the basketball.
But I think, you know, he's a pretty good athlete. He's actually a pretty good passer. And,
yes.
And so I think he's actually pretty dynamic in the open floor. You know, have him out there with the Melton and Morant and Clark and sort of those lineups, and you see him just making plays in transition. I thought he looked pretty good in transition. And this is a team that does want to play fast now and going forward. His shooting is such that if you already have Justice Winslow and you have Kyle Anderson, I don't know if you want your fourth wing to be a guy who's a non-shooter, and he, yeah, might be a non-shooter. And so that's where I would question the fit. And who knows, maybe Kyle Anderson gets moved or whatever. I mean, he was not signed by the current front office.
Right.
But if you're going to lock into Dylan Brooks, Justice Winslow, and you have Kyle Anderson as sort of a combo forward off your bench, and you have D'Anthony Melton, who clearly is important to them, who's, you know, can make shots but not really a shooter. If there's a role for one more player in that rotation and on the wing, I think I would prefer that player to be more of a knockdown shooter than Josh Jackson is or will be. And that's where I would question fit.
On Ja Morant, and I'm never here to throw shade at the prince that was promised, but I did notice last night he was kind of getting the let him shoot treatment, and it still didn't work. Is that a cause for concern?
He was 0-for-5 from 3 last night. I do think when we talk about like the early season shooting, and we've talked about in terms of Dylan and Jaren, I think Dylan and Jaren's shooting numbers, especially from three-point range, are much more real than Ja's early season. He was shooting 40% from three. Low attempts, but still 40%. To me, like, I think Jaren Jackson and Dylan Brooks are real three-point shooters, and Ja Morant is not yet. And so I think him coming back to earth as a shooter is probably a more regression to the mean than slump. I think that has been a question with him, and it sort of went away because he was so good so early. But, yeah, his shooting is going to have to, you know, over the next few years, it's not a crisis situation, But over the next few years, that's something that needs to improve with him, I think. Yeah.
Chris, we appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
That is Chris Harrington. Again, his game story is up, available at The Daily Memphian over at dailymemphian.com. When we come back, we get into the best moments of the night. We do that next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Mercedes-Benz of Memphis has been here 38 years. It's family-owned and the place you need to visit if you want to drive the best vehicle you've ever driven. I, Gary Parrish, can say that truthfully because I own a Mercedes, best vehicle I've ever driven. 5389 Poplar is the address. It's Mercedes-Benz of Memphis, our city's original Mercedes dealership.
Tell your Valentine how much they mean to you with a spa gift certificate from Serenity Day Spa. Print your gift certificate online at serenitymemphis.com. That's serenitymemphis.com.
Robert Irwin Jewelers has the trifecta this Valentine's Day. Spend $99 or more on a piece of jewelry she'll love, and you'll get a dozen roses and a box of chocolates. While supplies last, in-store only at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Four Memphis locations in the new one in Little Rock.
Hewlett & Dunn on Old Town Square in Collierville has 4,000 square feet of the largest boot selection within 200 miles. International boot legends like Lucchese, Double H, Red Wing, Ariat, Justin, and Tony Lama. Hewlett & Dunn has rubber hunting boots by Dryshot, and recently, they've expanded the selection of safety work boots, Filson hunter gear, the biggest selection in three states, and now carrying Duckhead. Casual attire, hunting attire, jeans, belts, hats, and more at 111 North Center Street on Collierville's Old Town Square. Visit HewlettDunn.com.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
We are in the heart of basketball season now. Tigers trying to go to the NCAA tournament. Grizzlies trying to make the NBA playoffs. If you're the type of person who likes to have a drink while you're watching a game, this is Gary Parrish reminding you to make it New Amsterdam Vodka. New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered three times to create the soft finish. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. Do you know how silly it is to pay nearly twice as much for another bottle when New Amsterdam is awesome and available? Super silly. So don't do that. Just grab a bottle or a case of New Amsterdam vodka, which is the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. And check this out. Also, New Amsterdam offers a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name when you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or in a liquor store. New Amsterdam vodka. That's New Amsterdam vodka. Pour your soul out. On the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Put on your best boogie shoes and get down to the Fitz for KC and the Sunshine Band. Saturday, February 29th, only at Fitz Casino and Hotel.
Must be 21 to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
20 ribeyes for $30 at three locations in Memphis right now. For a limited time, hurry now. 20 ribeyes for $30. EBT, credit cards, debit cards, all payments accepted. Last chance to compare five-star steaks to Omaha Steak Box steak deals and save on the ribeyes. 20 ribeyes for $30. Look for the big tent in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall right now. Also on the big truck, crazy deals on premium steaks, pork, seafood, and gourmet chicken breasts. Everything must go. It's a truckload meat mania sale. Look for the big tent and truck in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall at the Highway 64 entrance and at the South Haven Town Center in front of JCPenney's across from Fox and Hounds. And also look for the big tent in the parking lot of Oak Court Mall directly in front of the food court on Poplar Street. Crazy deals on Kansas City strips, New York strips, fillets, bacon wrap fillets, mega ribeyes, and get 20 ribeyes for $30. Three locations in Memphis, open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall.
If you are noticing cracks in the walls of your homes, your floors are sinking or sloping a little bit, you could have a foundation problem. And if you have a foundation problem, you could have a serious problem. And the way to find out is to get in touch with the Redeemers Group. The Redeemers Group is a local company that's been serving Memphis and the Mid-South for more than a decade and offers complete and permanent solutions at an affordable price. They handle the big stuff. That's for foundation repair, crawl space repair, basement waterproofing, concrete leveling, all of that at Redeemers Group. You just got to call them, 541-8765, 541-8765. They will send an expert to your home at no cost at all. The analysis is free, 100% free. They will give you an estimate. At that point, you can decide if you want to proceed. If you do want to proceed, just mention my name, Jeff Calkins. You'll get an additional $50 off the project. If not, however, no cost at all. You'll know what's going on. You will not have spent a single penny. No harm in calling. The only harm could be in waiting. It's Redeemers Group, 541-8765, or on the web, redeemersgroup.com.
Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright, broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The world is full of strange arrangements, and gravity won't pull you through. You know you're missing out on something.
Memphis Grizzlies enter the All-Star break 2 games over .500. They currently have a 4-game lead over the Portland Trailblazers for the number 8 seed in the Western Conference playoffs. According to 538, the Memphis Grizzlies improved their projections for a win total to 41 games from 40 games with just last night's win. Because last night's win, I don't want to overstate things, Brad, because as we've mentioned, it's an 82-game season, and trying to pinpoint one game and make it a big deal, unless it's game number 82 and it's win, you know, a win or go home type game. Yeah. It's and even then you can look back to other games during the season and point to, well, you could have avoided this position entirely. With that being said, I still think last night was significant for a few reasons. Number one, I think it was significant because you look at the most likely competition and it was going to be the Portland Trailblazers. You had a 3-game lead and you had 3 games with them. And if you didn't at least get one at home, you could have easily seen that entire deficit erased once you had to go to Portland twice.
Yeah, the cool thing about it are really two reasons. One is, like, it's totally refreshing because it's totally unexpected. So, like, the expectations were so low for this year. And coming off a year where the expectations were so high and we sort of underperformed, it makes it much more fun to watch. So that was the first thing that's striking. And then to your point, playing Portland like this, because you've got these two games against Portland that you, and presumably you're going to need to win those because it's basically for the eighth seed. The style of play versus Portland, we match up incredibly well because obviously they're trying to stretch it out, shoot threes. And if you can guard them at the perimeter, and we're seemingly fast enough to guard them at the perimeter and throw a bunch of guys at them and then do the fast break thing and obviously the layups and having Brandon Clark parked under the basket, you just match up really well with Portland.
And that point that you made right there was something that stood out to me. Eventually, Brandon Clark, of course, became the leading scorer.
Right.
But midway through the second quarter, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum were the two leading scorers in the game.
Yeah.
And the Grizzlies had an 11-point lead.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there going, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Well, now with the gift of hindsight, we now know how much that game was decided by not the starters.
Exactly.
And the second unit and the fact that the Grizzlies clearly had more depth than the Portland Trailblazers last night. But that did bode well. CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard didn't end up having great games. And, of course, Damian Lillard's health now became an issue. But I do think it showed, okay, there wasn't the idea of we're going to shut these guys down, but there was clearly
there was clearly a motive of we're going to make it tough on these guys
no question.
All night.
Well, and Anfernee Simmons, to me, he's a good player, but make no mistake about it, he's not going to score 22 points every night. But conversely, Lillard and McCollum aren't going to always score just 43 points between the two of them. They're going to score 50
points. And conversely,
plus.
It's not likely that Brandon Clark's going to get 27 points in basically
that's
23
true.
Minutes.
But when you can't guard down low and you've got foul trouble like Hassan Whiteside did, and you've also got apparently mental problems like Hassan Whiteside, no disrespect, allegedly, it makes for a really nice matchup if you can control Whiteside down low. But they really did. And then the Gorgui Dieng development was quite fascinating. And I really liked how Jenkins did this, sort of rolling out, Gorgui. As opposed to, okay, let's throw Jordan Bell in there.
Right.
Let's throw Dieng in there. Let's throw, Guterres. It was very tightly controlled. There's 10 players. The rotation looked good. You're not overextending it. And you still got a nice amount of minutes. You didn't have to overplay your guys,
No, he had a clear role last night, and they told him anything you give us on the – it appeared to me they said anything you give us on the offensive end we'll view as a plus.
Sure.
We need you – we need, 12 to 15 minutes out of you – really, really playing strong defense. All right. Because of that, I thought, let's do five good things.
Okay.
Because I do realize...
I like it.
Some of the questions particularly that I had for Dan and Chris, I do not want them to come off as negative Nancy. It comes from a place of...
Sure.
Disbelief. As you pointed out, no one expected this. Last night I tweeted out, the Grizzlies are two games over 500 at the All-Star break. Like, holy cow.
Have the good things theme.
Some of the questions that are coming in is like, okay, can we establish if this is real? So, with that being said,
okay.
I'm throwing those in the trash.
These are good things.
I want the best of last night.
Okay.
All right, here were the five things that I thought were best from last night.
I like this.
All right, obviously, starting with number one, we have to discuss it. Jaw goggles.
Jaw goggles.
Or
joggles.
Binoculars. I believe Roser's been calling them joggles.
Roser called them joggles last night.
I believe that is officially, John, if you're listening, buddy, go trademark that real quick.
Yeah. Hashtag joggles.
I still think they were binoculars. However, with that being said, I'm pretty good at reading the pulse of what catches on and what's not going to catch on and kind of identifying a trend. It appears that the ship has sailed to me. They're going to be joggles, whether or not they were intended to originally. And then Ja's answer, obviously, post-game, when he started to equate them to their construction goggles. They're for men with jackhammers. They're for hardworking, blue-collar people. I think that was the perfect answer.
It's a nice tie-in. Mm-hmm. And also...
He pivoted.
I listened to what you said, and I really like that you and Jeff study this closely enough, these good things.
Yeah.
That... You can quickly make it a marketable item for a giveaway at FedEx Forum. And I listened to your conversation with Jeff at 9 o'clock. By the way, Jeff on the way to the Cincinnati-Memphis game. You can cheaply get a piece of two circles of plastic and some fake plastic. I think you can get that product. And I also did the same as you. I Googled on Amazon. I think we're talking about a $2 product by the time it's all said and done.
I'm not even sure it has to be that much.
Maybe a dollar.
Yeah, I don't. I think you could easily buy... For what we're considering, I mean, you're not expecting here when you get these type. These are not going to be your everyday binoculars. These are not stadium binoculars. These aren't upper deck, upper deck of a three-deck
exactly right.
football stadium.
No.
That's not what these are. But with that being said.
Less than the pocket square, jaw pocket square.
I think you're fair on 100%. Because there's not a print. There's not really a printing
there's
element.
There's nothing to it.
Now, with that being said, I do pay attention to Jason Wexler's Twitter. And when he tweeted out the picture last night, what appeared to be clearly from his desk, where he had kind of a makeshift, it was like kind of those in-between goggle and glasses type thing with a headband and a smile underneath it. That led me to believe that these are going to be, we're going the goggle direction rather than binoculars.
The good goggles.
Mm-hmm. There's just no question. It's certainly something fun.
Super fun.
I think we've been searching, I feel like, for the metaphor, the... kind of the thing that was going to catch on with this team. I think we found
them
last night.
These things, they happen on their own. You don't have to create
them. No, they have
to
happen
in organic.
No, I completely agree. Something has to be organic.
That's
and
right.
That was what I when Jeff was like, well, what is the... I go, we're going to know it when we see it.
Yeah.
I think last night was that moment. All right, number two. Hand up. I admit that I called out this coaching staff after the Knicks game. Maybe it was rooted in emotion, in the fact that I was looking forward to the Pelicans game. And I wanted to be at full strength. and the fact that, that Jaren Jackson Jr. was not going to be involved. And I can't blame Jaren.
No.
I have to blame the coaches. That's what all good sports fans do. It's never the player's fault. Always the coaching. I got to be honest. They had multiple opportunities last night in get-back situations, and the amount of improvement I've seen from that coaching staff, how quickly they identify that moment, how they're executing their get-back. I saw lots of people getting wide. I saw lots.
Taylor Jenkins, man, when he looks like he's doing the line drills.
Area.
Oh, it's
great
amazing.
Great butt surface area.
Get back.
Getting wide. Getting
great.
Big. There were multiple opportunities last night, and I got to tell you.
It's amazing to watch.
Credit where credit is
really
due.
Amazing to watch.
Taylor Jenkins saw a problem.
Yeah.
It cost them a game, perhaps. And you know what? He's not letting it cost them another game.
Not going to happen. I don't care what you do. We're blocking out.
Cannot say enough good things about the coaching improvements and adjustments. Great execution there.
Good.
Number three. I think it has to be Brandon Clarke. I mean, I don't think anything was all that surprising. Obviously, tying a career high always stands out. But to me, what is so encouraging when you watch Brandon Clarke play, it's so obvious, whether it be in person or whether it be on a TV screen.
Yep.
You just leave yourself going, God, the rest of the league overthought this with Brandon Clarke. That guy is exactly what he was at the college level when he was the second most productive player in all of college basketball behind only Zion Williamson last year.
Yeah.
He is springy as all get out. He is so explosive. He gets in the air so quickly and he just hangs. He is everything that they thought they drafted and then some.
Well, and it's different than Dylan Brooks. And with Brooks, although a great player that you discovered in the second round, let's be straight, that's a gamble. Brandon Clarke's not a gamble. I don't think Brandon Clarke was a gamble.
No, I mean, you basically gave up a extra second that you had acquired
to
part of
up.
The Conley thing to move up to get a guy that you liked.
I'm with you. That is good things, number three.
I like this one.
Okay.
And maybe I'm a victim of, I believe sometimes shooting, the way a team shoots the basketball, particularly from three, I'm a big believer of that can influence how you think a team particularly played on that given night.
Okay.
But it felt like to me last night the Grizzlies won without playing well. And to me that is a significant sign. And really what I could, and to me, like, that's the thing. It's like, did they not play well or were they just not shooting well from three? But I think this is what's significant. You did not get a tremendously heroic performance from Ja Morant.
Right.
You did not get a great performance from Dylan Brooks.
Right.
You did not get a good performance from Jaren Jackson Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't particularly get a great offensive performance from Jonas Valanciunas.
No, and there was obviously Brandon Clarke's line, and
correct.
Ja Morant had a good line. But, again, the three-point shooting, and Chris pointed this out during your segment with him, you know, when you've got Josh Jackson you're rolling off the bench and you've got these bigs like Brandon Clarke and then Melton's not playing particularly well, Jang really was the one who was hitting, you know. And, one three-pointer. You know, he had one three-pointer. Jaren had one three-pointer. Dylan Brooks was 3 for 6. He was the best three-point shooter you had last night. Dylan might be your most consistent like volume scorer from three, would you say?
Well, when D'Anthony Melton makes as many threes as Jaren, Ja,
right.
and Kyle Anderson combined,
mm-hmm. I mean, that's
you'll take that every night.
Yeah.
All right, and then my fifth thing that I thought was my fifth positive thing that I think was displayed last night that I think can move on for the rest of the season, just the atmosphere, and not only the atmosphere inside the building, which
that was great.
I think was for a Wednesday night game with bad weather, and I think the atmosphere is tremendous. But then it's post game,
right?
And you hear this team talk, and just there's something about the way this team plays with so much joy.
Yeah.
When you watch them, it is so intoxicating.
Yeah. No, it's a fun group, and it's going to be a quick fit, I think. Like, I think we might have overthought that whole veteran leadership thing, right? Did we overthink that?
I don't think we overthought it. I just think that there wasn't a good way to evaluate how significant it was or wasn't.
Right.
And that was always, to me, that was always the question with with what do you do with Jay Crowder, what do you do with Solomon Hill, I always said it was completely dependent on the offer because I do think there was clearly value. There's always value for, I think, having pros, especially when you have young guys. But in terms of what this team's constructed as right now, I think they made the right decision. Yep. All right, we come back. We get to the one story you've been waiting for. We do that next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Howie, for Valentine's Day, we always want jewelry, but we expect the chocolate and the roses, too.
Well, at Robert Irwin Jewelers, we've got all three for you. Spend $99 or more, and you're going to get a free box of chocolates and a dozen roses. If you want a diamond heart necklace and a gold rose, only $149. Plus, you're going to get a dozen roses and a box of chocolates while supplies last.
I don't expect any less from you guys. Why go anywhere else? It's Valentine's Day at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
I don't know. Free financing, 5 locations, or online at rijewelers.com.
I'm Tanya Harding, Direct Auto Insurance Spokesperson.
Hi, I'm Johnny Manziel, Direct Auto Insurance Spokesperson.
Now, maybe life doesn't always go as planned.
Or maybe you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from.
Life's not always fair. Direct Auto will be.
They'll look past your past.
Finally.
And get you going with auto insurance.
I found my place at Direct Auto.
You can too.
Get direct and get going. Get a super low down payment for as low as $35. Direct General Group, Nashville, Tennessee. Down payments vary. Terms and conditions apply. Doesn't reduce premium. Additional fees may apply. How you buy impacts cost.
Maybe you've resolved to have more fun this year. Maybe you've resolved to eat better food. Maybe you've resolved to try new things. Maybe you've resolved to be present and really enjoy your life. Well, I have the answer for any of those resolutions, and it is Bounty on Broad. Bounty on Broad is delicious, locally sourced food served in generous family helpings in a restaurant that is so beautiful, it makes you happy to be alive. If you've been, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't been, it's time to change that. Go and get the crisp Brussels or the pan-seared scallops or the braised pork shank or honestly, anything they serve. My own particular challenge at Bounty is that I love some dishes so much, like the fried oysters, for example, that it's hard for me not to get them every single time. So I hereby resolve to get something new next time I go, and you should resolve to get yourself to Bounty on Broad before any more of this year slips by. Bounty on Broad is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. For reservations, call 901-410-8131 or go to bountyonbroad.com.
Love is in the air, and Dinstals is the place to win the heart of your special Valentine. For over 100 years, our family has created handmade chocolates using only the finest ingredients in our Memphis Candy Kitchen. Select from an array of beautiful heart-shaped boxes packed with caramels and fudge, nougats and creams, to nuts and tartlets. And for your Valentine's parties, Dinstals has everything from marshmallow hearts to the award-winning fudge pops, a Dinstals tradition. February the 11th is the launch of Dinstals' famous chocolate-covered strawberries. Fresh, ripe berries dipped in fondant and enrobed in rich milk chocolate. Nobody dips them like Dinstals. Place your order today at your favorite Dinstals location, Laurelwood, Germantown, Pleasant View, Collierville, or our new store downtown. This Valentine's Day, say, I love you with Dinstals, made in Memphis and enjoyed by the whole world.
This is Gary Parrish, host of the Gary Parrish Show for the 8th straight year. Can you believe that? We've been doing this show for 8 years, and the very first company who ever advertised on the show was Cooper Systems. They've never left, and I'll owe Lee and Lauren Cooper forever for that. Anyway, I'm assuming by now you know the basics about Cooper Systems. You need a computer, that's your spot. You need computer repair, that's your spot. But did you know Cooper Systems also offers business networking and IT services for small to medium-sized businesses? It's true, they do. So if your network or server is not performing as well as it should, call Cooper Systems. They can design and troubleshoot your network or server, configure your firewall for maximum security, and improve your wireless network. They can get a certified network engineer out to your site and get you running smoothly again. So remember, if you need servers, business class workstations, routers, firewalls, laptops, desktops, Microsoft software licensing, Apple products, virus removal, anything, Cooper Systems is your spot. That is Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679 on the web, coopersystems.com.
Robert Irwin Jewelers has the trifecta this Valentine's Day. Spend $99 or more on a piece of jewelry she'll love, and you'll get a dozen roses and a box of chocolates. While supplies last, in-store only at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Four Memphis locations and the new one in Little Rock.
Broadcasting
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
If I don't listen to the talk of the town, then maybe I can fool myself. I'll get over you.
Yeah, I am the king of wishful thinking. And Brad, I want to use this theme in the one story you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
Brad, the one story you've been waiting for is just the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes.
And how much fun this is right now. And you touched on a question that I started pondering last night. When you're caught up in the post-game celebrations and some of the comments afterwards when you saw how much fun the guys were having. You brought up a good point. Is this more fun right now, or does it feel like it's so much explosive fun because the expectations were non-existent and now it's like, oh my God, like there's this surprise element and it's not just a surprise, you know, lightning in a bottle. There appears to be sustainability to it.
Yeah.
Is part of the euphoria and the excitement rooted in the idea that the expectations for this team were essentially nothing? And not like they... It was not as if everyone said, like, well, this is just another crappy... It was the idea of you wanted to see positive signs in that this rebuild was going to be something that was not just a pie-in-the-sky dream, and we clearly saw that. I still think, though, and you tell me if I'm projecting, I think what makes this feel different than even the height of the Core Four era, despite the fact that this team is nowhere near as accomplished as that team was, it's more fun to watch from a style of play.
Yeah, I think it's both of the things you just talked about, because it's the surprise. You know, you didn't think you had this. You thought you were going to be maximum 28-29 win team, and you're clearly going to go past that. So it's the surprise. And the second thing is the other thing you mentioned, which is it's so different. Not only surprising and unexpected, but it's different. It's not grit and grind. That's why, I loved grit and grind because of everything that, and we'll talk to Brevin Knight a little bit about this, but people cared about that gritty workman mentality.
Well, it's the idea that you had clearly established characters.
Right.
And you had, on top of...
And it was very much like Memphis.
And it was successful.
Yeah, right.
Because to me, in the end, what made it so fun is the fact that you knew on a given night your team had a chance.
Absolutely. And that was sort of unexpected, too. You know, you have the Thunder game, the first team all defense.
Sure.
And so they developed a mentality that sort of worked. This is going to be different in the sense that the style of play is just so radically different. And then it's just surprising because it's happening fast. And it's more than Ja Morant. Like, yesterday everybody was talking about Ja Morant. It's like it was a surprise with Brandon. Jaren's playing well with them. And then the front office and the coach, you know?
I think... To me, this is like if I look back to 2011 when the Grizzlies knocked off the Spurs in the 1-8 series, there was like a there was like a surprise.
Oh, that was so super exciting. There was like a whoa!
Can you believe this?
No, it was the same similar thought
versus the reaction now, which is like, oh my God, isn't this fun?
Yeah,
like you know what I mean. Like it's not just can you believe they won? It's this is awesome.
Well, and I was still, when we were beating the Spurs in that series, it was still sort of, everybody was sort of uptight because like, okay, now we're good. Now we're good.
Exactly.
You know, now it's like, well, we're good. Let's have fun. You know?
Brad, what's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Yeah, we continue Grizzlies with Brevin Knight at 12:25. Brevin Knight from the Grizzlies TV and Fox. And we'll have him on at 12:25. What do you guys have on the show today?
Eric Hasseltine joins us.
Cool. And then Gary, I'll obviously have Jeff, and he's live for the Cincinnati-Memphis game at 5 o'clock this afternoon.
My thanks to Jeff for joining us from the road. Dan Devine, Chris Harrington. My thanks to Brad for keeping this thing rolling. I got to get out of here. Jason and John coming up next.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Howie Valentine's Day. Jewelry, candy, roses.
You can get all three at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Spend $99 or more, and you're going to get free box of chocolates and a dozen roses. And Danny, look at this necklace.
It is beautiful. It's a love card. crossing, isn't it?
It's a Love's Crossing necklace. They start at only $199. Plus, you're going to get a dozen roses and a box of chocolates while supplies last.
I don't expect any less from you guys. Why go anywhere else? It's Valentine's Day at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
I don't know. Free financing, 5 locations or online at rijewelers.com.
Want your roof done right?
Well, yeah.
Then call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF. A-Team roofers are licensed contractors and doesn't cut corners. We have on-site supervisors, and we only hire and train the best.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Jeff Calkins here, and I've got big news. I'm being cast in an opera, and I'm dead serious about this. I'm going to be cast as Buoso Donati in Gianni Schicchi, part of Opera Memphis's Puccini Double Bill, on February 14th and 15th at GPAC. This is the highlight of my life, and you can get tickets to watch me make my operatic debut at operamemphis.org or by calling 901-257-3100. It's me in the opera. I'm going to knock them dead.
Sign up for a Fitz Key Rewards card and you could win up to $250,000 in cash. It's the new member $250,000 Bullseye Kiosk game at the Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here. See cashier players club for details. Must be 21 to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.